I'm going to ask the Lord to help. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know as I open your word, if I don't ask for your help, that my mind wanders. And Lord, I just pray that as you teach me through your word, that you will use what I share tonight, that you shared with me, that it's just not something to fill up this next 15 minutes, Lord, but that it'll be something that we can soak up and use, and that it'll be useful for your kingdom, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month was reading in Deuteronomy and hadn't been able to get away from it, especially during the worship meeting. And I hope that as I share, that I'll be able to make that point come out clearly. I'm going to start in Deuteronomy 6:4, but you don't have to turn there. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Feel free to. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 starts. And this is authoritative counsel coming from Moses. This is his fifth book. And he passes away at the end of this book. So his fifth book was his final book. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. I wanted to start with that because by itself that's very powerful. Putting the Lord and his statutes in front of us. And something I noticed, I remember clearly paying attention to the repetitiveness in the Old Testament in 2014. Everything is repeated and repeated, and I'm like, why do I have to read this? I don't mean it to be disrespectful, but that's how I felt a lot of times while reading. And it's not just in Deuteronomy. And then last year it started, and I'm still learning, but I realized that like, for instance, Deuteronomy, the first verse in chapter 4. Just give a couple examples. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live. The first verse in chapter 5. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. And then the first verse in chapter 6, which I started with. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. And it started finally dawning on me, these folks weren't all college graduates. There wasn't a printing press printing out Bibles for them. Moses was writing it as God was giving it. He had to continually repeat these things over and over and over so they would know them. And he's telling them to teach them to your children. Write them on your home. You know, put it right here. Live it, breathe it. And if I were to do a 15-minute book report on Deuteronomy, I would tell you that it's a book with a dual-purpose promise. It's if you do these things, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, if you follow these statutes, if you do what I'm teaching you, then I'm going to bless you and you're going to go into the land that God promised. But if you don't, I'm going to scatter you abroad all across the earth, and I'm going to take away every blessing that I've promised you, and that I'm going to do to you like I've done to your enemies. You know, Moses was going forth, and it was just amazing how God took Pharaoh and took away his slaves, convinced Pharaoh to say, go, get out of here. I mean, that's a miracle beyond what I can understand, you know. And I have to read it over and over and over to start realizing how big it is. So let's get back to the scripture. I'm going back to chapter 6, sorry, and I'm going to go to verse 10. This is a warning, and it goes with what I just told you. Verse 10, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. I can't help but to read this and think about all the ways that this applies to me. I go to Aldi and buy vegetables I didn't grow. You know, I drink water from the city of High Point that I didn't dig to put them pipes in. I didn't do a thing for the filtration system. I just take my cup to the refrigerator and go, psh, and it just filtered it. It had already cooled it, and if it was dark, it shined a light on my cup, so I didn't miss. I'm just saying, I can't read this and not feel that this warning in verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. He's saying, I wrote this book for you, Scott, pay attention. Don't forget. Let's move on to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. We'll stop after verse 2. We had Mr. Apple prayed that we would be humbled because we're just like these people. It's said over and over. God said to Moses, I've seen your people. They're stiff-necked people. And then Joseph's praying because of the world we live in, that we're just so utterly ungodly that he wants God to work a miracle because there's no other way for these kids. So, you know, Deuteronomy 8 applies to me. And I understand this when he's talking to me. So let's go to verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know the man that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And this is where I kept remembering all the verses in Deuteronomy when we meet to break bread and we're worshiping the Lord. Because I read over and over and over what Moses has written, what he said. He did the same thing we do. He stood up and he said, God took us from Pharaoh and he split the water that you can walk through, and he gave us water out of a rock, and he fed us with manna from heaven. And then, you know, you still can't remember. You know, I'm reading that God is there in a cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. Thinking about it from our perspective, I just can't understand how you don't see and fear God. But I also can't understand what it's like to live without the Holy Spirit indwelling me and talking to me. They had to believe something by faith, seeing what the sacrifices and offerings and watching Moses. And just, they had to believe. And it may have been a much more blind faith than what we have, even though I think that they're seeing so many more outward expressions of, there's God. So, I'm going to go right on Deuteronomy 8, 7. This is more of what sounds like Christians looking forward to heaven. When I read this, the Israelites were promised something to come. So when I'm thinking about what the Lord's doing for me, he has also promised me something to come. So Deuteronomy 8:7, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full," I bolded this next part, "then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." So, the reason I bolded that, "then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee," because right back two chapters prior, which could have been, I don't know how much time passed since he said it, when you get all this good stuff, "beware lest thou forget the Lord." So these things that we should be praising the Lord for are the same things that make us fat and happy, and we forget the Lord. So verse 11, back to a warning. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein," sounds like America, "and when thou hast herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied." Our knowledge in America seems to be what's multiplied, and our technology. Verse 14, "then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land from Egypt, from the house of bondage." And because of time, I'm going to skip to Deuteronomy 9, because this was the meat of what smacked me real hard and caused me to pay attention to all these other repetitive things. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 10, "And the Lord delivered unto me," which is Moses, "two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for the people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image." Think about this. 40 days. That's all. Moses went up there 40 days. That's all the time that had passed. And they already had made this molten image. They weren't talking about it. And it was Aaron. 13. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may destroy them. Right here's where Moses prayed. He asked God not to destroy him. And then I remembered all the times in the beginnings of these books where it says, follow these statutes that ye may live to go inherit the land and possess it. So I don't know if Moses understood that if you don't do this, God's going to wipe you off the face of the earth. But at this point, Moses, I'm not going to keep reading the scripture, but Moses comes down off the mountain, sees that they've made a molten image of a calf, and he fasts another 40 days and nights. And he asks God not to wipe them off the face of the earth. Don't kill them. And it said that the anger of the Lord waxed hot against Aaron, that he would kill him. And Moses prayed, and God spared Aaron's life. So don't leave this room thinking that our prayers are not powerful. All right. I have run out of time. So, in conclusion, I'm going to go back to, I'm going to reread this one verse, verse 14. Then thine heart be filled, lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. On Sunday mornings, I know the house of bondage that I was in. I know the sin and the disgrace that my life represents without the blood of Christ. So, I'm going to leave you with 2 Corinthians 5:21, something that the Israelites didn't have. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My whole worship to the Lord is based on the whole of Scripture. But when I read Deuteronomy, I am thankful that we meet here on a weekly basis, because it's obvious I couldn't go much longer. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for what you've shared with me. I pray that somehow that you have made it useful and that the hearers can use what you share with them through your word. Lord, I thank you for this assembly. I thank you for the encouragement that's here, Lord, and I just pray that you will help us to see that we are no better than these people who just turn against you, Lord, and that you're the same God who would be angry at when we fail and extremely pleased when we follow your instruction, Lord. We may live in this age of grace, Lord, but we also understand that you're withholding what's to come, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. I echo all the prayers that especially dealt with unsaved, Lord, these children at C4K. A lot of unsaved prayer requests have been shared. And, Lord, we pray for the unsaved people tonight, Lord. And we pray that we will live a life worthy of the calling to share what you have done for us, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.